You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Gilbert Gottfried.
You know you're the host.
Yes, yes, I believe me. I wake up screaming.
Your name's on it.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre. We're once again recording at Nutmeg with our engineer, Frank Verderosa, if he doesn't lose this recording. And we're here with the Black Southern Jazz musician.
But he was a blues musician.
A blues musician, sorry. Ray Bone.
You're now listening to me off the mic. You're listening to, this is our latest release. And it's got a bullet.
See, you could hear that Cajun accent.
I thought I was talking to Dr. John.
Oh, this is
right. Part two of something fun that we did last week. For 200 episodes, and Frank said 157 mini-episodes, good Christ, that's 357 episodes of this thing that we've done. I thought we'd both be dead long before we got to this point.
Oh, God, I was hoping.
The sweet release of death?
Yes.
Yeah. But for 200 episodes, I thought, well, let's do something different. Let's do something that involves the fans directly. So we went to the Gilbert Gottfried Amazing Colossal Listener Society, which was founded by our friends Rob Smentek and Eric Fusco. And I posted and I said, look, ask us questions, anything about the show, the history of the show, putting the show together, how the guests are booked.
Mentek and Fusco were the thrill killers in
yes,
the
50s. Yes, they were. Yes, yes. Mentek and Fusco. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they gave Dick and Perry a run for their money. Yeah. they were in the Big Little Book version of In Cold Blood.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's
a reference for 12 people. Yeah. We decided to do something even more radically different for part two of our question and answer session. We decided to let jazz musician, see, now I did it.
Oh, yes.
Legendary blues man,
right.
Paul Raybone, fire the questions at us.
I'm actually going to be singing the questions with the band, with the Raybone band.
I think I like Blind Lemon Raybone.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. We're gonna we'll have the listeners submit blues names for you.
Yeah. Shoeless Raybone.
Shoeless, yeah. Raybone.
Shoeless Deaf Raybone.
Yeah.
Po' Boy. Yeah. Yeah. Po' Boy Raybone.
That's right.
So we're going to have, I glanced at these questions, so I didn't prep answers to them, so I thought it'd be something different. We'll let Paul fire the questions at both of us, and we'll see what we can come up with and get through these.
My first reaction looking at some of these is we never should have opened this up to the
listeners. I realize that, but
mistake.
Listen, let these people express themselves. They've been supporting us for 4 years.
That's what Moses said. Let my people express themselves.
What are you doing, red buttons?
Yeah.
Moses never got a dinner?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Are you ready?
Ready. Fire away. We'll try to get through these.
Joseph and then Rodriguez. Moses would put his hand to his ear and go, strange things are happening. Oh, hee hee.
You know, how many podcasts do you think there are in the world now?
In the world?
Probably thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
You think anybody's talking about red buttons on another podcast? Anywhere?
That's why this is it.
This is the one. Okay.
That's right. All right, Joseph Rodriguez wants to know, will there ever be a Seth MacFarlane episode with dueling Paul Lynds?
Oh, I'd love that.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, we'll ask Seth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I asked him three years ago when we first started.
Oh, my God. I was looking for the John Carradine Love American Style.
Did you find it?
No, but I came across one much weirder.
Okay.
This was one. It has to do with the boss, an ad exec probably, And he hires a sexy young blonde secretary, and it's all about how he's falling apart because he's so lustful for this hot blonde secretary.
I know where you're going.
And so the secretary's Carol Wayne.
Right. The old tea time girl from Art Fern and The Tonight Show.
And her D-cups. The horny for pussy guy is Paul Lynn. And he's there like, you know, checking out her breasts going, oh, my goodness. Oh, look at those.
Well, what an acting job that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, and you go.
Oh, he was an actor.
Yeah.
A complete thespian.
I'm really convinced this guy likes pussy. Yeah.
We will try to get Seth on the show.
Didn't we have a Paul Lynn, dueling Paul Lynn's recently?
Him do Paul Lynn with, was it Billy West? We had Billy.
Maybe.
Somebody yeah. We had you do Paul Lynn with. I think it was Larry Kenny. We did dueling Paul Lynn's. Yeah. Okay.
But you can never have too many dueling Paul.
Can't have too many.
Which I'd like to see a film clip of dueling Paul Lynn.
Yes.
And what they duel with.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's the sequel to Hamilton.
Yes. Right.
Thank you, Joseph Rodriguez, for opening up that discussion.
All right.
All right. Gabriel Noel. I'd very recently realized that all of your podcasts to this point have been exclusively with English-speaking guests. Some would question.
Do you want us to interview Raul Castro?
Some would question whether we have English-speaking hosts.
Yes, that's debatable. But,
is there or has there ever been a prospective guest that is open to being interviewed that doesn't speak English?
Yeah.
Or at least not comfortably speak English and requires a translator? I think of as an example the now deceased Lupita Tovar.
Lupita Tovar.
Lupita
Tovar. She died.
Oh, my God.
She would have
God.
Been good. But what about Charo? That's not really English.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's one of those, like, I think if you call her at 3 a.m, she'd answer in perfect English.
So it's an accent.
Because, like, that accent's gotten stronger over the years.
I see. Surprise her at 3 a.m. and she speaks like Helen Mirren.
This would be an interesting translator who can actually get, what is it, Lupita?
We'd like to get Pink Lady from Pink Lady and Jeff.
Well, you want Papillon Susu.
Oh,
I don't know how her English is.
Papillon Susu.
How's her English?
Just get her to say, me so horny.
Okay.
Me loves you a long time.
She was this actress that you know or you know of.
We know she was. She was in the Spanish Dracula.
That's
Yeah. So she would have been great.
She would have been great, but she died.
Yeah. Gilbert, let's hear a little of your Spanish just to see.
She doesn't have any Spanish.
She.
All right. Debbie Ribellini, how did you two meet? This is kind of romantic.
Oh, we've talked about this.
And how did it develop into a friendship? I know you've said he didn't know who you were after you'd met before.
I met him 100 times. He's ridiculous. He's such a sociopath.
Okay, here is a.
He didn't know me, even though I'd met him. His wife was a kind is a kind person with actual social skills. And I got to know Dara instead of getting to know him because it was like the translator.
Well,
that's
like,
right. Yeah, that's right.
And this is after, you know, after the podcast's been on and we've had him on as a guest. And then I get invited to do an episode of Crashing. And a guy comes up to me. And says, hey, really, thank you for doing this show. You're great on it. And I go, thanks. And he points to himself and he goes, Judd Apatow?
Yes. See, I'm in good company.
Yeah.
For years, I used to go up to him after shows. When Caroline's was at the Seaport.
Yes.
Yeah, you were always good to your fans after the show.
I can't remember.
Ever performing there?
Yeah. Okay. No, I can't remember. I could work with someone for like 50 years and then go out to lunch and then have to be reintroduced to them.
How many episodes were we in before Gilbert could pronounce your name correctly?
At least 27 or 28.
We should do a collage.
Two weeks after this show officially ends, he'll have no notion of who I am.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, well, it won't be 2 weeks.
No. But I got to know Dara over the years to talk because she was the translator. See, when Coco the Gorilla's on The Tonight Show, you don't talk to Coco the Gorilla. You talk to Joan Embry from the San Diego Zoo.
Right.
So that's how Dara and I formed a friendship, and then gradually... He spoke to me, uh-huh. and over time, and then the they know the podcast story. They've heard how the podcast came together.
Right.
Watch Kevin Daugherty's little doc that's circulating.
And Frank, I was walking along aimlessly in L.A.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And Frank, who I didn't know as Frank, even though I worked with him like 50 times on the shows, he says, "Gilbert." And I go, "Some schmuck knows me from TV."
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, and I didn't know. To me, he was a complete stranger. And he says, "We're going over to the autograph signing convention. You want to jump in the van?" And I said, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the guy in Silence of the Lambs.
Yes,
I have to move a couch. But that story we've told too 100 times. So,
all right, this is a little dangerous. Here's a question that goes right to the heart of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Ready? From Jorge Ojeda.
We'd like to have him on the show.
Your non-English speaker.
Yeah. English, right? Yeah. Where does Gilbert hear all those stories and rumors from, or does he just make them up?
Oh, those are fighting words.
Those are fighting words.
Maybe we should just skip that one.
That's
where does he hear them?
That's inappropriate.
Where does he hear them?
Usually in gas station men's rooms.
A cockfight in Tijuana where he was opening.
If only my agent could get me that.
Now, all of these questions are intended to drive a wedge between the two of you.
Okay.
I don't know why. Hi, Frank. I, for one, am quite happy that Gilbert has not replaced you with a Scarlett Johansson robot.
Well, speak for yourself.
Is that a woman?
It's Beverly Carr.
Okay. Oh, I know Beverly. Thank you, Beverly. You're so sweet. I appreciate it. I'll send you an extra wedge pin,
Wedge
pin.
Sarah Shu Wilson, is there a bad movie either of you are embarrassed to say you enjoy? I think we've talked about a lot of those.
Or
one you try to defend to others who don't appreciate it.
I mean, we love lots of bad movies.
Oh, well, so many bad movies.
Yeah.
Dr. Butcher would be one of yours.
Oh, yes, that's one of my faves.
I love a movie. You cannot find this movie. I've mentioned it on the show, and I mentioned it to Rob Reiner when he was on The View, and he turned white. The movie is called Fire Sale. It was directed by Alan Arkin.
Oh, wow.
It has this wonderful cast. Kay Medford's in it. Sid Caesar's in it.
Wow.
Reiner's in it. Vincent Gardenia is in it. Richard Libertini is in it, for Christ's sake. It barely saw the light of day. It was made in the 70s. It's hilarious. And it was written by Robert Klein, who wrote Where's Papa?
Jeez.
It's not a very good movie.
Mm-hmm. And you've looked for it and can't find it.
I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And if anybody within the sound of my voice can find Fire Sale on anything, probably Beta or VHS, we can't even watch it. Send it to us. But that would be my answer.
I think I have a kinescope of it.
Right. And also, I want to answer that question differently once I've seen Funky Monkey. So I will reserve.
All right. Here's now Chuck Robinson says, have you guys ever come up with your personal top blank movie list, top 10 or top 20, to share on the show or with the group? My own top 10 fluctuates between 15 and 16 movies. LOL.
Interesting. We've never done that.
No. In fact, that was one of those things when I did Turner Classics was like, you have to pick a bunch of movies. And
How much time did they give you advance notice when you had to pick those?
Not that much.
It was a couple of weeks?
And I remember going, I remember what was happening a lot is I would pick a movie and then I'd say, do I really love this movie or does it sound impressive?
Oh, you're trying to pick it so that you can say, look at my chops.
Yeah.
Right, look how
smart and cultured.
Yeah. People tend to do that when they put their top 10 lists together.
Yeah. You know, you'll name like these foreign
The discreet charm
films.
Of the bourgeoisie.
That's it. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Which is a good movie, by the way.
You had Hamlet on your list, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Mel Gibson version.
Yeah.
We'll do that on a future show. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll name our top 10 really, and then we'll name our top 10 most pretentious that we want to name.
To look
impressive.
We should, if we're going to go that route, we should do our bottom 10.
Worst 10 movies we've ever seen?
Yeah, 10 worst.
Yeah. That's fun.
Easy.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And now back to the show.
There were so many podcasts that do bad movies.
So now here's actually a nice question. No wedge issues here. John Atima, who did you expect to refuse or ignore you for an interview but surprised you by accepting?
Oh, so many.
Oh, anybody who says yes.
Surprise.
We're always taken aback.
Have you heard this podcast? You know.
And then Michael Miller has a related question. Who was your toughest get?
Oh, that would be,
But who, you know, Bruce Dern was...
Well, we were surprised as hell that Bruce Dern wanted to do the show.
He was fabulous.
Yeah, that was serendipity. That was because Gilbert ran into him.
Yeah, I ran into him on a radio show.
Yeah.
And turns out he was a fan, and then we asked, and he did it. And Bruce Dern, I remember... had one of those ridiculous memories.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah. He could name the extras on a movie he did 50 years.
He was wonderful and funny and self-deprecating. And that was a turning point in the show.
Oh,
when I thought, we can get Bruce Dern
to do this show.
And then we got a little bit of extra confidence.
Yeah.
But when you approach someone like Dick Van Dyke, no, you don't expect him to say yes.
Nor do you expect him to sing with Gilbert.
No.
Yeah.
Or Lee Grant or any of the other Lumen. Or Peter Bogdanovich. I thought we'd laugh in our faces.
Yeah.
But we are so happily, pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. And Carl Reiner. Yeah. And all these people.
And Norman. You know, prestigious actors.
Yeah.
Serious actors. I never thought Matthew Broderick would do it.
Yeah.
You know, we wrote him a little love letter.
After saying I thought Ferris Bueller sucked opening the interview, I don't know that I'll do it again.
Not to blow our own horn or to toot our own horn, but I was looking last night. You know, when we got to the 200th episode and my wife and I were, Genevieve, we were compiling the list, and I get impressed. I look at the 200 names.
Yeah.
Of these people that Oscar winners and people with stars on the Walk of Fame and just people that we grew up loving.
Yeah.
Barry Levinson and Roger Corman and these people want Joey Pants.
And,
you know,
and every time
they want to come here and play with us.
Every time someone says yes, I do get that surprise. Like, what? Whoa.
Me too. And then I get nervous that we're going to fuck it up.
Yeah. and inevitably,
we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right to be nervous.
Yeah. Even Keith Carradine, who we just had on the show an hour ago.
Yeah.
I thought, he's not gay. He's busy. He's not going to, you know. But, you know, he came in here and he was full of compliments and loved Gilbert and was shot out of a cannon. And you're so happily surprised.
Loads of fun stories.
Yep.
It's the most rewarding thing about doing the show.
Yeah. Some of these episodes, like him and like Bruce Dern and lots of others, when they talk about the craft of acting, I love that.
It's great.
You know, because a lot of times they're saying things here they've never said before.
No.
I mean, we have kind of a body of Hollywood lore now that's vast.
I keep saying to my wife, too, they'll never do it. And my wife reminds me, that's what you said about Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
And that's what you said about Steve Buscemi. And that's what you said about Matthew Broderick.
They're delighted usually after they've done it and pleased with how it came out.
Dick Van Dyke was,
you know, I mean, lots of others.
We'll keep trying. We'll keep shooting high.
Yeah. So, Mike Erickson, how much help does Gilbert get with his movie theme song renditions? I know his memory is superhuman, but it's getting ridiculous.
Oh, that's all him.
Yeah.
No help.
Yeah, that's something I don't know if I should be proud or ashamed of.
Unless it's you want to credit the antipsychotic medication that he takes.
Well, I think it's probably obvious to listeners that Gilbert spent hours with a vocal coach.
Oh yeah.
Before.
Yeah. And he. Yes.
I mean, you can hear it. You can
he
just
does.
Hear it.
The late Marnie Nixon.
Oh, my God.
Coach Gilbert up every weekend. Yeah, yeah. He does tap with Tommy Toon. when he's
so,
free.
Frank, here's a one for you.
I feel pretty. I feel pretty.
The question went right out of my head.
That's all. That's all him. By the way, it is true. All those TV theme songs all comes to him naturally.
We've tried to fool him with '60s obscure '60s records. And
he really has. I mean, he is a genius for a lot of reasons, and I've said that. But he has a touch of the savant that he remembers a theme song from a movie he saw once in 1972.
Here Comes the Fox.
Yes.
Lyrics. Or that he remembered the goddamn opening scene of The King of Marvin Gardens, which you admitted
right.
you had not seen in 35 years, and he remembered
it
verbatim.
The speech Nicholson
gave. That's not human.
Yeah.
That's alien.
That's Raymond Babbitt.
Yeah. I'm an excellent driver.
Here's an open. I don't know how to take this, but that's up to you guys.
What was the one that was for me that you skipped?
Which if you had a, I don't know, it went away.
Okay.
I think it was. Here we go. Alex Knight. What TV show writer's room would you have loved to have been a part of?
Oh my gosh.
Ooh.
So many.
Oh God.
Well, of course, like Sid Caesar's.
Okay. You know, that's just the standard answer.
Sid Caesar was that was across the board.
That was
ground for everybody.
Insane.
Or the original SNL. To be in the room with Zweibel and Franken and Davis and Ann Beats and Michael O'Donoghue and those people.
Or Gilbert's season on SNL.
Or Gilbert's season.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, this is an opportunity.
This is the thing about writers. No matter how bad the show is, and I've worked on many of them, there are always very, very talented people in the writer's room. It's not often the writer's fault what the product is.
Right. So Tim Weisberg. Here's another chance for us to toot our horn here. Of all the folks you have either talked to or talked about, who are you proudest to have introduced to people who may not have been aware of their work?
That's a great question.
So many.
So many. How about Barbara Feldon?
Oh, that was great.
Early going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barbara was great.
Yeah.
But so many. I mean, I always say this in interviews, like, When we first put this show together, I was thinking, well, they don't know who the people we're interviewing are or who other people we're referring to, so they're not going to care. Yeah. And then over the years, you get these emails from people who say, I had no idea who that was you were talking to or the other people you were referring to, but I loved it. And I've been looking up their name and clips on that.
It's gratifying.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
When a 20-something particularly writes to me and says, I've now fallen in love with Barbara Feldon.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks to you guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's or people discovering the work of somebody like Dick Miller.
Yeah.
Because of this show. People with big bodies of work. That's very gratifying.
And it's like they have some of them take it like a fun homework assignment. They look up these people's careers, and I can't tell you how many times we'll get, like, former podcast guests who go, oh my God, I've never gotten that much attention in my career.
Oh, yeah, that's gratifying.
Yeah.
That is gratifying, too.
Yeah, that's and that, you know, that's mixed up with talking about favorite movies, because a lot of these people that we introduce to people— We also are introducing some of their movies. That
absolutely.
Fabulous that
absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to get back at some point to doing movies in the mini apps too, movie recommendations.
Now, here's I'm going to direct this one to Gilbert. It doesn't say, this is from Gregory Garizar.
Yeah.
And the question, Gilbert, is why is Frank Santopadre so damned handsome? I think you're the perfect person.
Could you try to laugh it up a little less on that one?
I'm not sure we can continue.
And what
with
he
the
doesn't
episode.
Realize is Frank is sitting on my lap right now.
Am I Richard or Marlon?
That's the beauty of podcast. You can't.
By the way, full disclosure, that's a friend of mine from college, from film school. Greg Grazar is his name.
Oh, geez.
Grazar.
Yeah. And he's taking the piss out of me, as the Brits say, a little bit there.
Okay.
Thank you, Greg. I love you, too.
Now, Jack Lokensky, mm-hmm. This is a kind of a behind-the-scenes at the podcast. We get a lot of swag here.
Jack Lokensky.
You know, when you're at this level of celebrity, the swag just flows.
Why are you looking
non-stop.
At me?
God. All right. So the question, where is the damn question here? Okay. Did either of you actually use the squatty potty when they were?
That's a great question. I'm sorry to say I did not use it.
It was a missed opportunity.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do try to use the products.
Okay, here's what. Can I?
That's Gilbert using it.
Yes. Right,
no, we didn't use it. No, but I'd like to take this moment to say it's a great product, even though neither one of us could endorse it.
And scientists have tested it.
Yes.
Yes.
So can I take my, as the reader's privilege, a question directed, a question about me?
Sure, go right ahead. Sure.
This is from Jackie Dotson, who's a regular.
We know Jackie, sure.
We know Jackie Folk Dotson.
He was one of the villagers on the Andy Griffith show.
That's him. Yeah.
And the question is, why do Rayburn and Rupert Holmes look so similar? Rupert and I have collaborated in ways that few people know about.
There is actually a little bit of a resemblance between.
That's a lot of resemblance.
A little bit of Rupert Holmes in you.
Yeah, and I have the same sort of vast resume and background of composing and writing.
Richard Pryor's got a lot of Marlon Brando in it.
That's true.
Yes.
About this much. I wish we were visual. How many of those can you plow through there, Paulie, in 6 minutes?
Stephen O'Neill, are the ethnic slurs agreed upon beforehand, or are they come right from the heart?
Yeah, they come from a committee who has to vote on it.
That was Stephen O'Neill.
Ironically, those are outsourced.
Mark Arnold wants to know, here's a weird crossover question. Gilbert mentions how much he loved being a guest programmer on TCM. We just talked about that.
Yeah.
But what if he was a guest programmer on USA's Up All Night? What great jerk-off movies would he pick?
Oh, there you go, Gil.
Perfect. Oh, wow. See, it's funny because those jerk-off films, that was during the 80s, the teen jerk-off comedies, and they never quite lived up to the poster.
Right.
They were kind of like those cheap sci-fi films.
Yeah.
Where you see these enormous monsters and airplanes blowing up.
There were a lot of movies in the 80s, a lot of those teen comedies about like naughty teachers and
remember these kind of things, like
Sylvia Christel.
Yeah.
With European actresses.
Oh, of course.
There were a lot of those kind of things.
There was
Porky's knockoffs.
There was one movie, Zap. With Scott Baio,
right,
where the poster is very promising and the premise is promising because he's got telekinesis.
Oh, I see.
Where he could rip a girl. And, oh, it's.
But I
love the theme song. I love the songs in Zapped.
But, you know, I know a stroke film, if I may. That you did like,
yes.
which probably was too quality a picture to show up on Up All Night, but it was Matilda May in Life Force, in Toby Hooper's Life Force.
Yes.
So there you go. There's
Matilda
one.
Matilda May in Life Force.
That wasn't the one where she just wandered across the screen naked from time to time.
Yes.
That's the one. Occasionally she'd change a bulb.
Yeah. Naked girl vampire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and there was another film that came out right now.
Incidental Nudity.
There was another film that came out around that same time, like during the 80s, and that was Blame It on Rio.
Oh, sure. Well, Stanley Donen made that, of all people.
And so Michael Caine and Joe Bologna.
Right.
And I forget the girl's name.
Well, I think it was Michelle.
Johnson?
Michelle Johnson?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
Yeah, she was hot looking.
Okay.
So that was Mark Arnold, who also says, thanks for all the laughs and congratulations.
So was Rafer Johnson, by the way.
yeah, let's see. George Seminara, question one, where do you get the best herring? Bill Macy.
You got to check with Bill.
Bill Macy, check with Bill.
Check with Bill Macy.
Question two, on the Christmas show, was that Gilbert's Peter Lorre? Whoever it was stupendous. Did you do Peter Lorre?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes, he did. Yes, of course.
George Seminara, that was Gilbert's Peter Lorre.
You don't mind me, by the way, making you act like a trained monkey and do Peter Lorre for the guests, do you?
Because normally I have such self-respect when I do this podcast.
Gilbert, how about a little John MacGyver for the guests? But, you know, he just did it for Keith Carradine, and the guy was pumping his fist in the air.
Yeah.
He loved it.
That's right. So Rob Smentek, who's one of the managers.
He is one of the Listener Society, yes, moderators.
We thank and appreciate.
And founders.
To Frank and Gil, what's your favorite joke?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, geez. I don't know if I have a favorite.
Who was it who told us about, I'm going to get this wrong now.
No kidding?
Somebody's.
Well, you know, it's a really dirty joke, but it's the one about the kitchen sink. The one that that's a funny joke. I'm going to tell a clean joke.
Okay.
That my nephew told me when he was 4 or 5.
Okay.
My nephew Lucas, and I just thought this was the best joke, coming from a kid or anybody else. He said, "Who's Irish, and spends the year in the backyard? Patio furniture."
Patio furniture.
Thank you for that. Yeah. And I think Gilbert's joke that he tells in the documentary, he had a hat, is as good a joke.
Oh, yes.
That's a great joke. Yeah, that's a good a joke as any. Yeah, that was my dad. That was my dad's favorite joke.
In fact, one time I told it to Diane Cannon.
Really?
Yeah.
You know.
It's beautiful.
It is horrible.
You'd almost think that was Diane Cannon.
You'd think. Someone else will never do the show now.
Right, now.
Who else?
Here's a bit of a left-handed kind of, let's see how this goes. This is for Gilbert from Dale Whiteley. Does Gilbert see newer horror movies, and what does he think?
Oh, that's funny, because I haven't kept up on horror films or most like modern films. Like
I've gotten lazy.
As far as going out, and I even get sent screeners, and I always mean to watch them. I generally catch films when I've been, when one has to come on when I'm just switching around.
Do they have SpectraVision in the hotels? Do they still have that? They still have that the thing that they don't have that anymore.
He only watches the jerk-off movie.
Yeah. When he's in a hotel, he can't do anything. He doesn't know how to use his phone.
No.
Heaven knows he's not prepping for a podcast. I'm going to make you watch, it's not a feature, but I'm going to make you and Dara watch the first season of Fargo on DVD.
Oh, okay.
With starring our friend Keith Carradine, and it's wonderful. And you'll thank me.
Yes.
All right.
Well, last one, Paul. We're running out of time.
This is a good one. Zoran Samardzija.
Samardzija.
Is this somebody we know?
I've seen him on the Listener Society.
Why? He's outraged. Why haven't you done an episode about Green Acres?
That is outrage.
I'm just justified.
It's justifiable.
There's an angry mob outside the building right now. I'm turning
with appropriately enough pitchforks.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's about it, I think. Reader mail, listener mail.
That was
letters. We get letters.
That was the Listener Society. And you know, we'll do the ones we didn't get to in a future episode.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that was fun.
That was fun,
and we didn't have to do any work.
Yes, which is my ideal show.
I spent hours preparing for
this.
Thank
you, Ray Bone.
Number 10 with a bullet.
I think this was a nice way to celebrate 200 episodes with our fans.
Yes.
And we'll do it again. I don't want to say when we hit 300.
No.
I do not want those words to leave my lips, but if that day should come.
Yeah. It's just a shame that we don't generate a little more laughter in here when we talk.
If that day should come.
And we will pick a favorite question, a best question, and that person will get...
If that day shall come, I'll fuck Richard Pryor in the house.
But it won't be personal. It'll just be business.
Yeah.
I understand.
Only business.
Thank you, Ray Bone. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, Verderosa. Thank you, Dara. Thank you, Listener Society. I'm not thanking you.
Ruderosa adds a lot of class.
He does.
He does.
Shall you take us out then?
Oh.
People have to go home.
Okay, this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
Thanks to everybody for 200 and all your wonderful questions. Thank you, Ray Bone.
Right, a little exit music for you here.
How different this voice sounds.
Well, that's my singing voice.